John chapter 15, and let me read down through verse number 8 here. And so let's go ahead and stand if you're able to. So John 15, verses 1 through 8. Jesus said, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now are ye clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered. And men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples." Father, thank you now for this time as we gather around your table. As we consider a few thoughts here, we ask that you would teach us something that would lodge in our hearts, would be stuck in our minds, that you would remind us often of your wonderful truth, and Lord, about our relationship with you. Father, we ask for your blessing now in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. When we lived in Wenatchee, we had a grape arbor in our backyard. In fact, we were starting a second one. It's interesting trying to graft one plant into another one. That was a whole, especially when there was baseball in the backyard. Wiffle balls tend to break off grafting when they're really small. And so it seemed like foul balls always hit my grafted thing, my vine. But, you know, it is, and you can see this in any kind of plant. But when you trim back and prune back a grape, our grape arbors that we had, and we had, there was two poles, and they were about, if one was like right where the organ is, and the other one was maybe about right here. And so there was a vine on this side, and there was a vine on that side, and we had a pole that went up, a pipe, it was fairly thick, and it went up so high, and then there was heavy wire that was at three places. And so when we took that first, that on the one side, did it on both sides, and I would have, when it was in the spring, I'd have one branch off the main vine that would go out on that one wire about halfway, and I would count, I don't remember how many little studs on the branch that you counted off, and then there was one here, and then there was one up here, and the other side. And by the end of the year, that whole thing was covered. I mean, it would go over our neighbor's fence, and it would go everywhere, and there would be grapes all over it. But it was, when you first started, it looked like just dead wood, and then as the spring came, it would fill with little branches that would break out and everything. But what struck me here as I was reading this the other day is verse number 4. It says, "As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself." And that would go with, in a sense, verse number, 6. "If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch." So when I was pruning, I mean, there would be there would probably be 50, 60, 70 branches on that little grape arbor, those two, that I would cut off and throw away. And of course, I would eventually throw them in the garbage, but nothing would ever happen with them. Okay? So these branches had to remain in the vine. Okay? Obviously. And then from that, everything that came up through those vine would go out through the branches. And that's how it, and one of the things that was always interesting, because there was times that I was a little bit late in pruning my grape arbor, was that if some of those buds had already started coming out, those little, the branches, and I cut it off just because there was too many, it would literally not just drip, it would run. It would be like, it wouldn't be a constant pour, but it'd be drip, 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 and it would make a little hole in the ground where the water kept hitting. And that's how much the vine was pouring itself into the branches, because it was what was necessary if they were going to bear fruit. And so you and I, we need to abide in Him. You and I need to stay focused on Christ. Say, "Hey, I'm going to follow Him." And then there's a sense, not only do we purpose to follow Him, but there's a sense in which we yield to Him so He can pour Himself into us. And that's what God wants to do, so that we can bear fruit. And so it's just a matter of those two sides of it. One, I want to follow, I'm going to follow, I'm purposing to follow, and then yielding to Him so that He can fill us and empower us and make us fruitful for His glory. And that's what God wants to do. For just accept ye abide, verse 4 again, as the branch cannot bear fruit except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. And so let's make sure we're abiding in Christ. And again, remember that it's not just doing right things. It's continuing in a right relationship. And that's really the key to fruitfulness. It has to do with how we are relating to Christ. Because He's going to make us fruitful. But that's His job. It's our job to do and follow what we know and allow Him to fill us and make us fruitful. And so I would urge you, and I know all of you have that desire, that God has put that in your heart, and sometimes it's a little bit up and a little bit down, and I understand that. We all go through those times. But let's purpose in our heart. I'm going to follow, and Lord, please make me fruitful. And I think there is a matter of prayer, and as it says there in verse number 7, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will and it shall be done unto you. And I think part of the thing that we ought to ask for, I remember one time I was hearing a preacher preach on this passage, and it never dawned on me, because he said, what is it that makes us fruitful? And I never connected the prayer part to being fruitful. When was the last time that you asked God to literally make you fruitful? Now, that could be, you know, we think of, you know, when Pastor Fricks was in the hospital, or when we heard about Lori, and it's proper that we pray for the physical needs of each other, okay? So don't say I'm minimizing that, okay? But sometimes are we asking, God, make me fruitful, make me impactful, make me so that my life is somehow being used by you to impact other people for the cause of Christ. I told the last chapel, our junior senior high, you know what? If you don't do any sin, you're still not a very good Christian. He said, "Well, I thought that's what we should do is not sin." Well, yes, but there's more than just not doing wrong. It's doing all the right, and so that's, and I you know, if we're not doing right, I know that's a sin. But I was just making the point for them that there's not just stay away from the negative, stay away from the negative, stay away from the wrong, stay away from sins, stay away from, you got to do that. But I was also saying, hey, there's a positive side to that. And we need to move forward with that. And that's part of what we pray. Lord, make me fruitful. Make me abounding in your grace. Make me, and to be asking for those positive aspects of what God wants us to be so that we are following through. Lord, make me, help me. Lord, guide me to abide in you and you in me so that you can make my life fruitful for your glory. Okay, let's go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. That was sort of an abrupt end there. But just thinking about that fruitfulness and abiding and thinking about our Savior. And as Brother Arden prayed a little bit earlier, that as we gather around his table, that we may just know that joy of what he's done for us. So 1 Corinthians 11, and you can remain seated as I just read through here and prepare our hearts for what God has for us here. Verse 23, for I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Sorry. Just do in remembrance of me. My mind went back to the cross and thinking of our Savior and what he went through there. This is my body which is broken for you. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily, and that unworthily is the manner in which ye do it, not, and none of us are worthy. You know, that to stand before the Lord, to take that which represents Him. None of us are worthy of that. So this talks about the manner. Part of Corinthians, they were messing up. They had division in their church, and he was saying, hey, that's how to take it unworthily. But if we do that, then we're guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation or judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. And this is the judgment. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. And so we'll go back, as we always do every communion service, in verse 28. Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. And so we will take that time. And so for our guests here, you're welcome. If you're not under church discipline at your own church, and you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, that you're welcome to join us here this evening. And so really that's really important. So as we examine ourselves, and that is, yes, you use your mind, use your heart and so forth, but it is the Lord as you welcome His examination. And so as we take a little time for that, for the Lord to just look at our hearts and say, how's my relationship with God? How's my relationship with others? How is, and maybe we'll add this a little bit, as I was talking about earlier, you know, how are we doing as abiding in Christ? You know, are we doing that? That's not necessarily something to confess, but as Brother Ard mentioned in his prayer, a chance to renew our dedication to Him. And really that's part of what this service is about. Lord, I'm giving myself afresh to You as I think about how You gave Yourself to me, for me. So let's pray. Father, thank You for this evening and for this time to gather around Your table, to remember what You've done for us in Christ, to remember His sacrifice. Thank You for Him giving Himself for us in death and giving Himself for us in life, in resurrection life. We thank You for the new life we have in You. And Father, I pray that if there's an area that's hindering our fruitfulness, if something is not allowing that fresh nutrient from the vine to get into the branches so that we can be fruitful for You, Lord, anything that's hindering that, we ask that You would please show it to us. Even now, Lord, if it's distrust, disharmony, Lord, if it's something that we're going our own way instead of Your way, I pray that You might bring that to our attention in love, so that we in love for You would give ourselves afresh to You in Your will. So Lord, we put ourselves before You over the next few moments and ask that You would examine us. And Lord, if there's something there, we pray You'd show us. In Jesus' name, amen.